are paging Mr. Baxter, Mr. Jordan, and Mr. Simon to proceed to boarding gate 38 immediately.
Encore, hardcore, lock you down to the floor. Bossy's eye on the border. Jumper, jumper, under order.
And welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as ever, I'm joined by Ian Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Here for the start of our Euro 2024 coverage. Yeah, this is the preview episode. We've got a whole month of football coming up. It's all very exciting, and summer tournament. It's been a while now, hasn't it, Ian?
What, since the last summer tournament? Yes, it has.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, no, the World Cup was the other year, Graham, but that was in the winter, of course, wasn't it?
Of course, yes. It's going to be a load of players here who've never played a summer tournament.
I suppose he probably is, actually, isn't it? Yeah, all those like little diddy like 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just think about what Jude Bellingham has achieved, you know, in his career. I mean, like, we all look at him now as some kind of exalted, like, veteran. He's 20. Yeah, but there we are, like Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Was he 12?
Yeah. You know?
Adam Wharton. Most people don't even know who that guy is. He's never played in the Summer Euros. Not senior, anyway.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Also, this is going to be a tournament in one country. I mean, I've almost forgotten what that's like. It's that's just
what?
Weird.
Say that again?
Yeah.
One country?
One country.
Am I hearing you right?
Yeah. Well, it's not only that, but there's also going to be another tournament that plays for most of the time that Euro 2024 is on. We've got the Copa America on as well. And that's all in one country as well. I don't know what's going on with the world. It's like cats and dogs living together, isn't it? But yes, we've got two massive summer tournaments. We're not going to be talking too much about Copa America because it's on right in the middle of the night and we're not going to be able to see it. We'll be interested to see what happens there because it's all going to be in the USA and 16-team tournaments are cool. A lot cooler than 24-team tournaments because third place chaos and all that, which is something we look forward to here because we're nerds. But, you know, the wider public seems to think it's not ideal. But, yeah, we're going to be concentrating on the Euros. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be going for about a week. Unfortunately, I am going to go and see England play in Cologne, which, as it comes closer, I'm getting more and more sort of, why did I just hand that ticket back in and get another game? But, yeah, I'm still going to that one, and I've got a knockout game to come. But more on that as the conversation unfolds. So what we're going to do today is we're going to go through the groups. We have not expertised ourselves in all of the ins and outs of each country, but we'll have a discussion about what we think of the groups and what our vibes are going into it, whether this will be a group that you'll be completely invested in or whether this is just something you'll catch up or maybe follow on flash scores, you know, that sort of way. The sort of groups that you might think, well, actually, this is an evening that I can actually organise something and pretend I've got an actual life rather than just devoting the whole month to watching football. That's a perfectly acceptable thing to do. It is June, it's the summer tournament, and as we've said, it's been a while, so we're actually quite deserving of it. Jan, how much of your time are you going to invest in this tournament?
Quite a lot, but I'm gainfully employed these days, unlike the World Cup. I was made redundant the day before the last World Cup started, and so I had nothing to do but just sit and watch three or four games of football every day, which is what I did. This time, I'm not going to be able to do that because I've got stuff to do during the day. But yeah, I'll be if I'm in front of a television, I will be watching it.
Terry?
I also have to work, which is very annoying. But we are going to set up a little TV in the office. But I will be seeking to watch as many games as I possibly can. This weekend, three games a day, right? Saturday, three games, six games over the weekend, another one on the Friday. Yeah, all of them.
Well, there is one game this Friday because it's the opener and it's Germany-Scotland. So you'll definitely be watching that one, won't you?
I will definitely be watching that one. I am, I just realized that I'm actually wearing a German replica shirt for this podcast. I literally just slung this on before coming downstairs to record the podcast. So yeah,
I should have put mine on as well. And then
read into that what you will. Is that I am supporting England, but I'm wearing the colours of Germany. So I don't know. I'm not sure what my granddad would have said about that.
Well, it gives us a perfect in to start talking about Group A anyway, doesn't it? Because that is Germany's group, being the hosts. Germany, Scotland, Hungary and Switzerland. That's got quite a sticky feel to it for the hosts. They're not going into the tournament in great form, are they? Has that changed, though, recently? Is there a bit more belief in there now?
There's a little bit more belief there since Nagelsmann has taken over. It feels as though they might be approaching a corner. It's probably more of a bend than a corner, but it does seem that there's a little bit more faith in the German national team now than there was beforehand. But you know, the same perennial problem still exists. There's never really been a striker to replace, well, Miroslav Klose, frankly. They seem incapable, really, of being able to play without a decent number nine. I know they won the World Cup. That was a long time ago. They haven't been able to sort of like move beyond that need for a player that they really don't have. And I love Niklas Füllkrug. And, you know, any right-thinking football fan would admire the journey that he's been on as a striker. But he is really, you know, I would suggest to you, he's a player that Dortmund are already looking to replace as much as he's loved. The other issue, and I think this is probably more serious, is in goal. Manuel Neuer made a couple of very high-profile howlers, most recently in the Greece game, which was only last weekend. And there are serious doubts as to whether or not he's up to it and concerns that he's finished. Nagelsmann is sticking with him, but this must surely be his last Euros, and it may prove to be one major tournament too many. We will see. We know, and I'm sure this is a narrative and a trope we'll return back to, but summer tournaments, international tournaments, take on a different character and can make heroes and villains out of unexpected people. So we don't know, but that's the chief concern at the moment in general. And an opportunity to say goodbye to Toni Kroos, of course, who is retiring. And given the career that he's had, I wouldn't put it past him to retire lifting a trophy. And I would say that Germany are, as hosts and with the good players that they have, and they do have good players, there's a good chance that they could win the trophy.
Yeah, Scotland are in that group. Looking at the other teams in there, you've got Switzerland and Hungary. Both those sides have quite a big German flavour to them. What do you think about Scotland? They seem to be in a decent place at the moment. Do you think they should be confident going into this and at least getting out the group? Let's come on, finish third and you can get out of this group, can't you?
Yeah, I think they should go into this game with a lot of confidence, actually. They won 5 games in qualifying, one of which was beating Spain.
Yeah.
Obviously, they finished second overall behind Spain, ultimately. But I think that's a really good showing for Scotland. And I'm not trying to be patronising about Scotland. You know, they've had some horror campaigns and failed to qualify for things, but they've qualified comfortably there. So I think they should go into that one with, as I said, with a lot of confidence. I think that if you compare their qualification against Hungary, I think they easily match up to them. And I'd say that's probably Terry will probably talk about them in a bit more detail. But clearly, Germany have got to be the favourites in that one. They're playing on home soil, although they haven't really been tested, I suppose, because they've qualified as hosts. They haven't been tested leading up to the tournament. But yeah, I think Scotland can go for second or third, probably second.
Switzerland and Hungary, they've got a lot of German-based players in those squads or players who have experience of playing in Germany. So it is going to be quite sort of familiar surroundings to them. Hungary qualified really well. They had a great Nations League beforehand. Some people are thinking that they could go deep into this, but others are thinking, well, no, as soon as they get to a tournament, they'll just fall apart. Some decent players in that team, though, aren't there?
Solid Bundesliga pros for definite. I mean, obviously, you've got to look at Szoboszlai, who was at Leipzig for a while, is now at Liverpool. And I think that probably for the English, he's their star guy. I think he probably is also, to be fair, for the Hungarians. So I think they would expect to be able to progress into the knockout stages, given that there's every chance of getting through in third place. And that this would add to their growth. There's a niggling feeling for me about Hungary is that I wonder whether or not there's not enough new blood that's come into that side. I'm not altogether convinced that they'll have a good tournament. it's based purely on vibes. I'm more convinced about Switzerland. And the reason why I'm more convinced about Switzerland is because I say this every tournament, and every tournament they let me down. But I'm gonna stick to it, because this time I might well be right. But I think that the benefit for both of these teams, particularly the Swiss, is, yeah, they'll be playing on what for them are going to be home grounds against, in, you know, well, I was about to say similar atmospheres, but actually, you know, they're not going to be similar atmosphere at all, as the Bundesliga is a very unique atmosphere. But they won't feel out of place. There's no travel sickness issues. I think that them and the Hungarians, and there's others as well, who will feel quite at home playing in Germany. And I think that that will be good for them. I'm afraid I don't know what to make of Scotland. And this is largely on the basis of my horrific prejudice against the fact that they are Scottish and I'm English. But Jan is right to point out that their qualifying was impressive. And he's also right to point out that they did beat Spain, although Spain can be an up and down side. And they can, at times when they want to be, they can be quite beatable. We may well talk about this when we come to Spain. I think that that's not exactly a group of death, but I think in the past I might have used the term a group of life. I think that everybody will feel they've got a chance of getting out of that group.
Well, okay, well, that's Group A sorted then. So who's going to finish bottom of that group, Jan?
Oh, that's a tough one. If Scotland do a Scotland, yeah, then Scotland. But if they do what they've been doing, then they're going to be fine. But I don't know, it's tough. Hungary, Switzerland. I think Germany's certain to win that one.
Okay. I didn't ask that. I said, who's going to finish bottom?
Switzerland will finish bottom of that one. Hungary's got a bit more about them, I think, haven't they?
Terry, who's going to finish bottom of that one?
Hungary are going to finish bottom of that group.
Ooh, right, okay. Then. Right, Group B then. Well, this is Spain's group, and we've already heard how well they did in qualifying, apart from losing to Scotland at home. So, vibes on Spain. They were okay at the World Cup. They didn't really impress, did they? Do you think they're a better team now? Are they going to put more of a show on for us, do you think, Terry?
I think that there's a good possibility that they will do, yeah. The emergence of Nico Williams and Lamine Yamal. Nico Williams from Athletic Bilbao and Lamine Yamal from Barcelona. Even though Yamal is 13 years old or something like that, it's something to look forward to. I was listening to our good friends of the pod, John Driscoll and Terry Gibson, just this morning, and their thoughts about the Euros. They obviously watch Spain and Spanish football a lot more than I do. More than most people do. And I think they're cautiously optimistic, although it's a young side, that if they play good, fast-paced football and they're not too stodgy, then they can do well. I certainly feel that they are, you know, one of the top teams and always a team to look out for and a potential winner and deserved their first seat. So I'd expect them to go through comfortably, even though they've got some tough opposition. Italy and Croatia are tough sides, and Albania are a bit of an unknown quantity, to be fair.
Yeah, Jan, Italy are the holders, but I don't think anyone is really expecting them to go into this tournament and dominate. They didn't even go to the World Cup. Is this really looking like Spain plus Italy or Croatia to finish second, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule out Italy, but you're right, missing out on the World Cup after doing so well and winning the Euros last time out. Obviously, Mancini left. They lost twice in qualifying, both times to England, which isn't Italian behaviour, really, is it? So, I mean, it's good to see them at a tournament. But we lamented the fact that they weren't at the World Cup at the time, didn't we? So it doesn't feel like an international tournament if Italy's not there. So it's good that they're there, but I don't think they'll scale the heights that they did last time.
Yeah, Croatia, they're even older and creakier than they were last time, aren't they? So Modric still is there, 175 caps, 38 years old, still wearing the number 10 shirt. Is he going to be a major influence in this? You've got Perisic there, he's 35 as well. Are they too old now? Or is this going to safely see them into the knockout stage, Terry?
I think Croatia will get through to the knockout stage, definitely. There's a tremendous amount of pedigree there. They only have to play five or six games, don't they?
Yeah.
It's not beyond them. I mean, I know they're creaking. Modric, I think, is completely up to it. He hasn't played as much for Real this season as he has done in the past. And he is a consummate international footballer. You know, he's absolutely synonymous with his national team. I imagine that when Modric retires, the last game he plays will be for Croatia. It won't be for Real Madrid. I know Perisic has had a bit of an up and down season, but his quality Kramaric is a cracking footballer, still a cracking footballer, still going well. I don't see why they shouldn't do well. It's easy, I think, to look at them and say, oh, they're creaking a little bit. But that experience, I think, will hold good. And I think they'll give Italy a tough time and Spain a tough time, because they are, the profile of those two teams is somewhat younger. And again, I can't say anything about Albania. I think they've done extremely well to qualify, obviously. Silvino is the coach there. He's got a bit of a project going on. And they feel as though they're moving forward. But it would be a real surprise if they were to not finish bottom of that group in the event that you should ask me who I think.
Well, I was going to. I was. That was my next question. I said, can we say that they will finish bottom? I mean, that's what I would immediately think of them when we say, you look at that group and think, yes, Albania will be the one to finish bottom and go out. But Croatia didn't win their group in qualifying. Italy didn't win their group in qualifying. But Albania did win their group in qualifying. All right.
True that.
On head-to-head against Czech Republic. But they forced Poland to qualify for this via the playoffs. So, yeah, this one is going to be a really tough group. And I think you could see any one of those sides in there. Even Spain finished bottom of this group. If something just goes hideously wrong in those first games. I think this is the group that's going to end up with only two teams coming out of them. So you're going to end up on one of these teams that people would think would go deep. You've got Croatia, World Cup semi-finalists, Italy, the holders. And I think one of those two teams could go out of this round.
I think you're right. I think that this is the most perilous group of the lot. You're right about Albania, and you could definitely see Italy or Croatia, probably Italy, slipping up against Albania, which will be wonderful to see. Really good.
Well, talking of peril, that brings us on to Group C, which actually I don't think has a lot of peril in it at all, but it's got England in it, so it's perilous for us. England there with Slovenia, Denmark, and Serbia. What do we think? Was this a good draw? Was this a nice, easy draw for England, Jan?
Do you remember that time when the sun spelled out easy for the World Cup groups? It just makes me think of that when you say an easy draw. I mean, on paper, it looks fine. Denmark are probably the closest to England, I'd say, in terms of quality. But, I mean, if England can turn on the style, England have got a side bristling with talent, possibly a little bit. I mean, we'll probably talk about England a little bit more at the end, but I'm not sure that they are defensively as solid as they'd like to be. But I think England should. I mean, if they don't go through at least second, there's something wrong there.
Slovenia and Denmark were in the same qualifying group, and they kick off the group. Denmark are actually getting a bit old now. Mind you, I think they're getting a bit old because they've still got Christian Eriksen there and all the stuff that's happened to him. But he's still only 32, and he's got his pacemaker, so he should be all right.
He should have another 10 years in him because he's artificially enhanced.
Terry, do you think that Denmark and Serbia or even Slovenia are going to cause England any problems?
The only team that I think can challenge England for in this group is England themselves. I feel that as long as they play well, they will get out of that group and they should finish top. I don't think there's any doubt Denmark have got pedigree and will be difficult. For some reason, I follow quite a few people on Serbian football Twitter, and they're not hugely optimistic about their chances. I don't really know whether or not Slovenia would challenge. I would characterise those two teams as being probably good, solid, professional European teams. There's no rubbish teams in this tournament. Even if it has expanded to 24 teams, there's no rubbish teams in this tournament. But I would not necessarily expect any of them ordinarily to challenge England. I think only England can mess it up for themselves. If I was to be pressed for a second place finish, then I would possibly actually take a flutter on perhaps Slovenia finishing second in the event that, as you say, that perhaps Denmark have reached a tournament too far. But I'm not going to use the argument that I think Denmark might be too old, because I've literally said the same thing about Croatia and said that I think that they're going to do well. So that's just not good analysis. It looks for me as though England, Denmark would be top of that group, but I kind of feel that group's worthy of a bit of a surprise, and that maybe Denmark could be vulnerable.
It depends, I think, how well Rasmus Højlund does, because you've seen, though Man United had a mixed season, he has got something about him, that lad. And I think that this could be a good stage for him.
And it's Kasper Kjellman, who is still the coach, I think, at Denmark, and he's a good coach and he's done well there. They are a decent outfit. You know, if you look at Serbia, for example, I mean, like, they've got Mitrovic and, you know, Yeah. No, I'm not sure who else there is really that leaps out to you and says,
yeah,
you know,
you've got Tadic is still there. He's 35. You've got Vlahovic and Luka Jovic. They've got good players going forward. I'm not sure if they've got anyone in defence, though, really. Mm. Serbia will cause problems for teams, but I really don't think England should have a problem with that. Who's finishing bottom of that one then? Yeah?
Probably Slovenia, I'd say.
Yeah. Terry?
I'm going to say Serbia, actually.
I'm going to say Serbia as well, finishing bottom of that one. That can bite me in the arse, that one.
Yeah.
Right, next group is Group D. This is France's group. France with the Netherlands, Austria, and Poland. So Poland, Austria, other teams that have a lot of Bundesliga influence there. Ralf Rangnick's Austria. Terry, you expecting anything out of them? Or is being in with the French and the Dutch going to be far too much for Austria?
Austria are going to be good this tournament. Again, yeah, almost a home tournament for many of them and being so close. And I mean, there aren't too many total standout players there that you look at as superstars. But Sabitzer has had a great season for Dortmund. Konrad Leimer is a quality player for Bayern Munich. Up front, they've got Mikhail Gregoric, a Freiburg player who's a good, solid, hardworking forward who brings players in. I think they've got some genuine quality there. A lot of it will depend on whether Alaba is fit. Of course, Alaba, I think, plays as a midfielder for Austria. Mm. And I think he's a really, really important part of Rangnick's plan. And I think that will be a blow if he doesn't make it. With that combination of Ralf Rangnick and the qualifying that they had. Now, Rangnick, he's the architect of the Red Bull system, basically. He was the sporting director of Salzburg and then Leipzig. He set that out. And of course, that is very much an Austrian project, the Red Bull football thing. It started in Salzburg and has gone out from there. And Rangnick is one of the architects of it. So it makes an awful lot of sense that he should come and coach his national team as well. And I think that the players and I think that everyone there has basically responded well to it. So I expect Austria to do very well in that tournament. Unlike Poland, who I'm less than optimistic about. What worries me about Poland is that Lewandowski's had a difficult season. Not terribly difficult, but fairly difficult. But I'm wondering whether or not there's that connectivity with him and the rest of the team. It's always been frustrating to watch Lewandowski play for Poland because he's a very, very good player. But you never really feel as if he hits the heights. So I'm hugely optimistic for Austria and less optimistic, I'm afraid, quite pessimistic for Poland.
Jan, France, Netherlands, two teams that also met in qualifying. France breezed through qualifying and are quite rightly fancied to go deep in the competition. World Cup finalists, of course. Do you think these two are the ones that are going to just completely breeze through this? Or is there an element, do you think, of uncertainty somewhere in this group?
I think I agree with Terry that Austria is the uncertainty in this group. But all things being equal, I think France will, I mean, you talked about them breezing through qualification. I mean, they played the Netherlands in the final game of qualification and put 4 past them, which is incredible. And they put 14 past poor old Gibraltar. Yeah. You know, it's France and that's going to happen. But I can't see past France. And to be honest with you, I don't think I can see past France for this entire tournament. I mean, they're so good. And Mbappe, now he's got his dream move. He's already won the World Cup, missed out on the World Cup last time. I mean, they're not a one-man team. We know that. They've got some real talent there, but they've just got an awful lot of talent. It's going to be hard to see past them.
Yeah. We're all agreeing that Poland are finishing bottom of this group, are we?
I think so. I think Poland might have done all right in a different group, but this is just such a killer for them.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to say Netherlands.
Yeah.
But I will say Poland.
Yeah, they play their opening game in Hamburg against Poland. Both those first fixtures are mouthwatering because you've got Austria, France in Dusseldorf. They're going to be interesting fixtures, those ones. Group E is Belgium's group with Slovakia, Romania and Ukraine. Belgium post-Golden Generation? There's still quite a few of the Golden Generation still there, isn't there, Terry? They're not completely gone yet, are they?
No, and a few have gone. Haven't Batshuayi's gone. Some of the seriously older guys are gone. And I think the feeling is that Tedesco is bringing through that next generation. And there's plenty of talent coming through. It wasn't a Golden Generation. Belgium just produced good footballers. You could say that in key areas they've held on to players too long and that maybe they're a certain type. but they've got a load of exciting young footballers coming through. And De Bruyne will still be there at 32 years old. I think people maybe mistakenly think he's a bit of a veteran, but I would suggest he's probably one of the best players in the world right now. You know, I wouldn't want to rule him out of anything. Tedesco as a coach is an interesting guy as well. He's had a checkered club career. I think he's made some poor choices about where he goes and what he does. But he took Schalke to the Champions League and a second place in the Bundesliga before that club imploded. He won Leipzig their first ever trophy. You know, I think he's a coach of some substance. And I think that Belgium's problem in the past is that I don't think they've been too smart, too clever about who they appoint as their coach. I don't think that Martinez is a good coach. And I forget who was before. I think Wilmots was before with them. I don't think that they've been very, very clever at recruiting. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do. And I would certainly fancy them to get out of this group. Be astonished if they didn't.
Yeah, I think, again, for Belgium, they've still got lots of attacking options up there. I mean, you've got to look at that attacking midfield like Trossard, Tielemans, and, of course, De Bruyne. And you've got Lukaku still up front. I mean, you can't see them not going with him, even though Luka Bakio might sneak in there. But at the back, they've still got Jan Vertonghen, 37. That doesn't put a lot of confidence, I don't think, into you to say that this is a team that's going to do well in a big tournament. But they were unbeaten in qualifying. Who's to say that they're not going to go through? Who do we think is going to finish bottom here?
I don't want it to be Ukraine for obvious reasons. But to be honest with you, I think given what's happening in that country, I think that they might go into that with their tails right up and want to prove a point. So I'd probably say Slovakia will finish bottom of that group.
I think Ukraine are going to go well. I suspect that they're not anywhere near as bad as we might think they are at all. I mean, they're a quality football nation. Mm. Albeit somewhat depleted. But, you know, they're going to be, you know, every neutral is going to be with them, right? So yeah. I think it's going to be an emotional tournament for them and going to be one of the stories of the season.
Mm.
I don't want to get carried away by any means, but I don't have them bottom of the group at all. If you was to put a gun to my head, I'd probably have to say Romania, but that's an ill-informed choice, really.
Yeah, Romania did win their group. They were in with Switzerland, but that did include draws against Kosovo and Belarus. Undefeated, though, in their qualifying.
Mm.
Whether or not that means they can do anything at a tournament is another thing.
Just thinking about Ukraine and what's happening then. Sorry, I know this is a football show, not a politics show, but wouldn't it be great if they did a Greece and just went and did it? And that would, I mean, because that was, you know, one of the greatest upsets in the Euros, and it was brilliant. But, you know, it's not going to happen, but there is precedent for this type of thing to happen, so why not?
International football is one of the few forums of football where these kind of fairy tales can still happen. I think winning it would be a major stretch, but I think quarters or semi-finals would qualify as a fairy tale, certainly semi-finals.
Yeah.
Don't rule anything out. Stakes are so high. Perfectly good teams and perfectly good players can blow up, you know, and mess things up. There's always opportunities. But a football analyst would look at them and say, well, that would be quite some story if they were to make it that far, but this is football.
This is football. Well, let's talk about dreams, because Group F have the golden ticket winners in Georgia playing in there with perennial dark horses Turkey, Portugal and the Czech Republic. So it looks an absolute nightmare for Georgia. Georgia, who managed to only amass 8 points in their qualifying, but got in through the Nations League. They finished fourth in their qualifying group. They were in with Scotland and Spain, 3 points behind Norway, but got in through the Nations League. They lost 7-1 to Spain. So should anyone begrudge them being there? They got through in the qualifying manner that was put out for them. So, yeah, it's great that they're there, isn't it, Jan?
Yeah, I think so. They qualified under the rules that there were, so why not? Another country with a point to prove as well. And again, that can be something that can drive them on. And you see the, I don't want to say this too harshly, but the lesser nations, the weaker nations, footballing-wise. When you see them in there, I don't always just see it as a kind of like poor old Georgia or poor old, you know, whoever. That's a banana skin for the big boys. They'll look at that and just go, we just can't afford to mess up on that. We can't afford to be too complacent. So, you know, it keeps the competition real. But that's where, as Terry said, international football allows for this kind of thing to happen. So, you know, bring it on.
Terry, you've got, look, I'm going to take a run up at this one. Kvyshe Kvaratskhelia.
Mm, or Caradona, as he's known in Napoli.
Caradona.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's a proper good player.
Yeah.
the part of this team is they're under 19s, I think. They had a great under 19 team that did well in the recent European Championship, and a lot of them have made the leap into the senior squad. So there's not a lot of experience there. It's a young profile, I think. It's going to be really interesting to see them. Again, they've been working on this. Willie Sagnol is the coach, and he's done an awful lot of good work coordinating all of these underage group and bringing them through. So I think that really their qualification is a testament to the organisation of their federation and of the staff there of bringing this team through as much as anything else. How they do, of course, nobody will really know. But I think that it would be smart to assume that, unfortunately, they will finish bottom of the group on this occasion. Because, yeah, as you say, it's not a particularly impressive qualifying campaign. And taking that Nations League route, which I am 100% in favour of, by the way. I mean, like I said, there are no bad teams in the Euros. If there is a bad team, then it might well be Georgia. But I really hope that that's not the case. Mm. If nothing else, to vindicate that route of entry through via the Nations League, which I wouldn't want to discourage anyone from taking against, because I think it is important that emerging nations who have got a plan have some kind of potential reward for that. So they are going to be one of the more interesting stories from a football fan's point of view, because you'll be seeing players you don't normally see.
Yeah, so, yeah, certainly.
That's another reason why football summer international tournaments can be fun, is because you'll see players you don't normally see.
Well, hopefully the Westfalen will be full to the brim for their opening game against Turkey. Turkey, Terry, they qualified top of their group. They finished above Croatia. Will they turn up for a tournament? Will they challenge, do you think?
There's just no way of knowing, Graham. I mean, it will, of course, be another one of these home tournaments for them,
yeah,
because there is a ton of Turkish Germans and Turkish Gastarbeiter in Germany. And in the Westfalen, and in the North Rhine-Westphalia, there's a huge number of them. So they will be like home grounds for them, in a way, probably more so than Austria and Switzerland, because their supporter culture is a lot more colourful, if I can use that term. It's a lot more florid, a lot more expressive, I'm going to say, as well, without wishing to fall into national or, God forbid, racial tropes. That's not what I'm trying to do, but I think we all know what I'm trying to say, at least. They're going to be real atmospheres in there. But I think we know that Turkey can wilt under that kind of pressure, as we've seen in the past. And we just don't know what they're going to do. They could be a real dark horse, Turkey, because they always could. And they're always so good to watch. I love watching Turkey play in international tournaments, because when they're on it, my goodness, they're just fantastic. It's just great, because it just creates this amazing atmosphere. But they can so often not be. So this is a tough group to call, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and of course, we've been talking about old players, and they don't come any older than the ones who are in Portugal. Portugal wheeling out not only Cristiano Ronaldo at 39, but Pepe at 41. I mean, these guys are in our sort of generation, aren't they?
Well, it's they're also bringing out some real talent as well. We know that. And as I've said before on Sport, I'm a huge fan of Bernardo Silva. So who's 29 himself, as no spring chicken. But, he's a great player. And, of course, Bruno Fernandes as well is in there, which is good. But, you know, Ronaldo's dropped off the radar a bit, hasn't he? Because he's been over in Saudi collecting even more money to put in his massive money room. So it'll be interesting to see how he comes out on the big stage, which we know the answer to that is going to be amazingly, and he's going to steal the limelight. So, yeah, I can't see Portugal not going through in their group.
We have mentioned two very, very old players, but most of that squad, they keep on producing really, really fine players, don't they? So this isn't a creaky old Portugal side, is it, by any stretch?
No, it's a top-notch Portugal side with a couple of old guys in it, definitely. Roberto Martinez, the aforementioned Roberto Martinez, who I don't rate, is coach this side. I still don't rate him. I'm not convinced that was the right move. It'll be interesting to see how he gets them playing, whether or not they're different, because, I mean, obviously under Santos, they were quite difficult to watch at times. Mm-hmm. I think that they had a massively disappointing World Cup, if I remember rightly. They were locked out by Morocco, weren't they?
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they were.
And that was hilarious, because they really massively let themselves down. They were easily the better team. They were a very good side. So I agree with Graham. I think they're going to go well. Can I just say, I think Czech Republic, who did so well last time, are going to bomb this time.
Mm.
I just That's just a Duffadden vibe there.
Okay. Well, are they your pick to finish bottom then? Or
I'm
having
them bottom. I'm putting them bottom.
Georgia could get a third place. Could get into the third place chaos, yeah?
Yeah. No. But I'm putting them bottom anyway. Sheer bloody-mindedness. But yeah, no. I mean, obviously, I think it's possible Georgia will save them. But I don't know. I mean, I think I just feel that they rode on the wave of Patrick Schick's. I know that wasn't that's a bit unkind to just lay it all on one guy, but Patrick Schick's amazing form going into Euro 2020, 2021 was such to lift that side. I'm not sure that that's there again this time. Not that Schick had a bad season by any means. He totally won the Bundesliga with Bayer Leverkusen.
He did.
But I'm just not, I've just got a feeling that they'll let themselves down this time.
Yeah, I think that final game in that group where they play Turkey, that could have a lot of importance, that one.
Mm-hmm. Can't wait.
So that's our opinions of what to look out for anyway in the groups. Yeah, as I said, I'm going over to Germany. I'm watching the Inga game. I've also got a round of 16 match where I'm going to be watching the winner of Group B, so which is probably going to be Spain, could be Italy, might be Croatia. So I'll be watching Group B with interest. And they'll be playing against one of the third place teams. So I really won't know who that's going to be until I'm out there. Let's go back to England. Let's talk about the squad choices in the end. Probably more so about the players who aren't going. Jan, who stood out for you as among the long list of players that didn't go?
Top of the list for me, Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
It's not that I was surprised he didn't go. I'm just disappointed he didn't go because even though he wears his socks too far down, which really boils my piss, the guy is so good. He really is good. And he hasn't been on the pitch enough for Manchester City. Doku's come in there and is a lot more tricky, I think it's fair to say, than Jack. But he's a really, really talented English player and he can really change games. And he's playing for arguably the best side in the well, one of the best sides in the world in Manchester City. But, you know, they rotate their squad so much and it's just, I don't think it's given him enough to meaningfully put his hat in the ring for this, which is why he didn't make it. And does beg the question, is he going to hang around at City? Because this is a bit of a blow for him at the height of his powers as well. So,
yeah, I mean, yes, they've got a big squad, but Foden gets a lot more pitch time. So it's not as if he's being picked because they play a squad rotation system. He's just not getting the hours in, is he? I don't think it's that controversial. Terry, what do you think about it?
It's not controversial, but that doesn't mean it isn't very, very disappointing.
Yeah.
For all the reasons that Jan has just said, he has not necessarily done enough to justify it. This is not Gaza 98, where it's just like, Coddle, what are you doing? Because he's the only decent creative attacking midfielder that we have. We've got them in abundance now. So the field is strong. I think it's a shame. Also, for the same reason that boils Jan's piss, I love that. I mean, for me, Grealish is an old-fashioned, socks down, shirts out, attacking midfielder. He would have been a high-boozing, womanizing, maverick player if he'd been around in the 1970s. He would have got nowhere near the England side. And I think he's great for that. And I to an extent, and this is from a strictly from the as a professional footballer, City has sucked an awful lot of the energy, I think, from Grealish, which I think is really sad. He should have stayed at Aston Villa, and they would have given him the opportunity to really just like run that team. I mean, obviously they've done really, really well without him. But I think, you know, the fact that Ollie Watkins is in the side and Grealish isn't, I know they play different positions, but it does demonstrate to you that there are consequences sometimes to yielding to unremitting ambition. Jack Grealish is now a treble winner. He's won everything that the club game can offer. But it would appear, if we look at it from a narrative point of view, that it's cost him, you know, dearly in terms of his international career. And I think that's a real shame and another reason to take against Manchester City in the way that they generally operate. So I think it's really sad. But I think England will live without him though. If England don't win or bomb out of the Euros, it won't be because Jack Grealish wasn't there, sadly.
No. Of course, you could say the same about Marcus Rashford as well, not being there, and James Maddison as well.
Yeah. Definitely.
James Maddison, stellar first half of the season under Postecoglou, but he never really did hit those heights again after coming back from injury. Rashford has had a complicated season. and it's probably best for him not to be at a tournament under any sort of spotlight at the moment. Take the summer off, enjoy yourself, come back. But as you say, Terry, we've got so many good players around in that. So to get Ollie Watkins in there is great. Anthony Gordon playing there. Eze, getting Eze into an England squad, along with other Palace players as well. You've got to be happy with four Palace players in the squad, haven't you?
Yeah, I can't believe it. I mean, but of course it means that if we bomb out, that everyone will blame Crystal Palace. But I guess that's just the cross that we have to bear. Absolutely. I mean, I'm pleased for all of them, but I'm particularly pleased for Eze because having to come back from a really difficult injury and to play himself through and in a really strong field to just play himself up to that point where he goes, I just did not expect him to get picked. I just thought, they'll have a look at him. But it is a measure, I think, of also how well Palace finished the season, and maybe he's thinking about that. Wharton, of course, is the other guy. Adam Wharton is people that still, you know, a lot of people would not have seen because he's only been in the Premier League for half a season. He plays for Crystal Palace. Not everybody watches Crystal Palace. But what was interesting is reading an article in The Athletic about the England players training and how the England players, particularly the attacking players, are reacting and are changing their approach and their runs according to Wharton when Wharton's got the ball, because he's so imaginative and so creative with the ball and so accurate with the ball that they're responding to him. And I suspect the feeling was is that if he was going to get picked, it would be for that reason, that the way that the players are getting it. So I wonder whether or not maybe we might actually see more of him than you might think. I know he's already being linked with Bayern Munich. I don't think that's actually happening, but I don't think that the link was fanciful necessarily. I think Palace will struggle to keep him in the summer and we may only see him for that half of a season in a red and blue shirt, because I think his stock is conceivably even higher than Jude Bellingham's, and that's saying something.
Yeah, no, I know, I would agree. Yeah, and going on from what you've said, if you haven't seen him play yet for Palace, then you don't need to see a lot of him to be convinced of what a talent he is. He's such an assured player. One of those sort of players that you know is when he's on the ball is dictating the pace of the game around him. I really hope he goes with a central midfield of him, Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham as a sort of triangle in that midfield, because I think you could see some very, very, very special plays with those three there, just for the imagination and the skill and the technique there. I think there is a lot to look forward to there if they all play together. And you say with the attacking options we have, we could see some amazing games. I'm hoping that I'm going to see an amazing game anyway and not just be completely turned off by the watching England away thing. Jan, what do you think?
I'll start with the negative. I think that defensively, I don't look at that lineup and think we're going to lock everybody out, although there's some good players there, don't get me wrong. But just looking at the rest of the side, I mean, you've got the voted the best player in England, Phil Foden, the best player in Spain, and Champions League winner, Jude Bellingham. You've got Cole Palmer, who is one of the top scorers in the Premier League, and then you've got the top scorer in the Bundesliga in there. And that's just to name that little bunch there. You know, there's a host of talent in there. And if we can keep it tight at the back, I think that England could go all the way. But I think the way it works out, they'd end up meeting France on the way, wouldn't they? I mean, France, I think, are the team to beat. But this is a really, really good England side. Really good.
Yeah, if England do win Group C, they're on a collision course to meet the winners of either Group D or E in Dortmund in the semi-final. That would mean either facing potentially France or Belgium. But hey, if we get to the semi-finals, yeah, it's all in the lap of the gods then, isn't it?
So, it is, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it all becomes about nerves. Nerves and class, really, at that point. I feel very strongly that England have got enough to win this tournament. And I don't think that that's controversial. We've said this in the past, and it's been a stupid thing to say. But, you know, we've been around for a long time and we've seen many iterations of this England side, but this is the best England team that there's been in a very long time. And beyond the concerns that there are about, you know, the back four, I think that England, if they can outscore the opposition, I think are in with a really, really good chance. But I'm with Jan, Graham. I'm afraid my favourites, if there were any money going, if I was putting any money on the winner, it would be France. I think that they've got answers pretty much to every question that's there. And I think a lot of it will be up to them. It's a shame that we would get France in the semis if we were to make it that far. And if they were to make it that far, make a great final.
Well, the next time we talk, all the teams will have played once. So we'll have a good idea of how far these predictions will go. We'll have seen England play and we'll go, oh, God's sake, why did we think? Why did we delude ourselves again? Every time. Every time they do this to us. Hey, we won't know until they play. And they start playing this Friday. Germany versus Scotland starts us off. And then it's going to be a whole month of football and it's all going to be lovely. And then if you can't sleep, you can stay up and watch the Copa America in the middle of the night as well. It's brilliant. But that's our preview. And next time you'll hear from us, there'll be some actual games that we can talk about, and that'll be great. And there's probably going to be something stupid like little cars that bringing out the footballs and all those other crap things that come.
They're great. They're not stupid. They're brilliant. When you say stupid, I assume you mean brilliant.
Well, yeah, actually, there isn't going to be little cars this time now because Volkswagen aren't sponsoring anymore, and that was all part of their deal. So who knows what's bringing out the football this time? Yeah, little drones maybe or something like that. But that is all we have time for on our preview. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeVellin, it's goodbye.
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 We are at Sound of Football on X, Blue Sky, and Instagram. So feel free to get in touch there. Or head to our website, sofpodcast.com. Don't forget to rate and review us.
So is Dooku the one with the double ender?
That's Darth Maul, that one.
Not Darth Maul, that's him.
Darth Maul, yeah.
Who turned up again at the end of the Han Solo film.
He does.
I've not seen that because Simon told me it was rubbish and not to bother, so I didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's very forgiving with this sort of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, if Simon thinks it's rubbish, then it's rubbish. Yes, he's a bit like me with Star Trek. He's very, very, very forgiving.